Appreciate that. Mark chapter 6 this morning. Mark chapter 6. Thank you for the privilege of being at Calvary Baptist Church. Mark chapter 6 this morning. Mark the 6th chapter. I've been looking forward to coming over and being with you, and trust that this week will be a blessing to you. Mark chapter 6, as we begin this morning. Life at its best is difficult. Several of our families have recently lost loved ones, and perhaps maybe even you know someone who's lost a family member, a friend. I have other church members who have terminal illness, those going through cancer treatments, hospital stays, a couple in the hospital even right now, heart procedures that have been done this past week, and just so many troubles and heartaches that people go through. And we strive to do the best that we can, but sometimes it just seems like everything is against us. My father-in-law had a statement, and he said, "I can't win for losing. I can't win for losing." Now, I don't understand it, but I understand it. I don't understand what that means, but I understand what he meant. And I know what that means, to not just feel like just things keep piling up, and we'll wonder, is there any hope and help during the difficult times of life? And our passage of Scripture is very exciting, because the disciples, we're going to find, they are facing a merciless sea. They're in a boat. They find themselves, the wind is contrary. The waves are against them. It just seems like they're struggling, and we're going to see them toiling against the storm, but to no avail. And I'm sure the thought went through their minds, is there any help for me? And we're going to find Jesus is their help, and he comes to their aid, and he can do the same for us. In fact, from this passage of Scripture, there are two simple thoughts that I want to bring out this morning. And these two things, I think, can be a help to us. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 45. Now, you've been sitting for a little while this morning, and so if you're physically able, would you stand with me while I read our text for us? And several years ago, I guess 3 years ago, we started standing for the reading of our text in our church. And someone said, "Why do you do that?" I said, "Because half of you are sleeping, and I need you to at least be awake during the introduction and first point of the sermon." Mark chapter 6, verse 45. "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." These two thoughts I want to share with you this morning. In verse 48, notice it says this: he saw them. That's very important. He, Jesus, saw them. The second significant thing I want you to see this morning in verse 49, they saw him. And so two things, class. The first thing is, he saw who? Them. He saw them. Number two, they saw him. They saw him. And I want to pray, and ask God's blessing on our time together, and hope that these two thoughts will be a help to you. Father, we pray that you would add your blessing to the reading of the scriptures. Bless this brief Sunday school time that we have to teach the Word of God. Lord, I pray that each of us might realize that you see everything that's going on in our lives. And then, Father, help us through the difficulties of life to be able to see you and to stay focused on you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Notice Jesus saw them in verse 48. But I want us to briefly look at the context. This was a very difficult day for the Lord Jesus Christ. His disciples had just returned from being sent on their preaching journey. Remember at the beginning of the chapter, verse 7, he sent them two by two. And they went preaching and saying that men ought to repent. Well, they return in verse 30. They gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And so the disciples were telling Jesus of the wonderful things that had just taken place. Well, sometime, either prior to those disciples coming back, or even while they're speaking, something else takes place. And we find that in the previous verses of the chapter, the story about, or the story of Herod killing John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a friend of Christ. He was his cousin. He was the one who baptized him. And so Jesus receives news that John has died. Not only has John died, but he has died at the hand of an executioner for taking a stand for what he believed the Word of God taught about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And you know the story. He said about the King Herod that he had a woman who was his brother's wife and he had no right to marry her. And John was a very strong preacher and took a stand, and it cost him his life. So Jesus hears that news, and then good news about the great things that took place on this preaching tour. But then, so then Jesus says to them, let's get ourselves apart for a while. In verse 31, he said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Well, that didn't work out very well. All the people heard about him. And so eventually Jesus is teaching to multitudes on the hillside. And we have the great miracle of 5,000 men being fed that day. I'm not sure how much time elapsed from when Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist, the disciples coming back, giving him a report, and now the need of these 5,000. But I think it probably was just a few days. This was a week in the life of the ministry of Jesus Christ and his disciples. Now we get to our story at hand, and surely it was a difficult day, and they were ready for a break. They were weary, and Jesus sends them away in a boat while he takes care of sending the people away in verse 45. Verse 46 and 47, Jesus has some time alone, and he goes to the place of prayer, and his disciples are in the boat. Now, notice it says in verse 47, the ship. Now, it wasn't a ship like you and I would think of an ocean going vessel. But it was a boat probably a little bit bigger than your platform. A little bit bigger than that. Perhaps even as much as from that wall to the end of the platform over here. Possibly that size. And I've been on a boat very similar to that on the Sea of Galilee in the very place where Christ would have been. And so those disciples get on that boat, and now it was probably about sundown or so, and they head across to where Jesus said, I'll meet you over here. And verse number 48, we come to a storm that had come up on the sea. At least it was something that was causing them to have some resistance. We don't know how bad the storm was, but it says that they were toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. But I want you to notice that in verse 48, Jesus saw all of that. Now, he wasn't with them presently, or in person. He wasn't with them in the boat, but he saw everything that was taking place in their lives. Now, this is important because sometimes, have you ever said something like this? God, do you know what's going on down here? Do you know what's taking place? Do you know the difficulties I'm going through? Do you know what's happening down here? And sometimes we wonder if God is even aware of what is taking place. But I want you to know and be confident that Jesus does see everything. Well, what did he see? He saw them toiling in rowing. Now that word toil, it means to labor. It means to work. It means to work or to exert strength with pain and fatigue of body, with effort of continuance or duration. And so not only were they toiling, but they were also tired in their toiling. If they had left about sundown, around 6 o'clock or so, the time when Jesus comes, it says is the fourth watch of the night. That's 3 a.m. to sunrise. So 9 hours or so, they're out there and they're toiling, trying to get to the place where Jesus said, I'm going to go over there and we're going to meet on the other side. And they're toiling. They're having some struggles. The wind is contrary unto them. Now that word contrary means opposite. It means moving against or in an opposite direction. I was acquainted with this word years before my salvation. I didn't get saved till I was 21. But prior to that, we didn't have any Christian home or anything like that. My grandpa, he was a drinker and a curser. And when something wasn't going right, he'd use them words. Well, he used this word, contrary. He said, that thing's being contrary. He'd even say his wife was contrary every once in a while. He wasn't a very nice man. And so when I was reading, I thought that was a curse word growing up. When I read that in the Bible, I thought, well, I hope the Lord isn't cursing. And so didn't know anything about the Bible. But anyway, that word, it just means against you. It's something against you. And that's what that wind was that day for these men. It was something against them. And sometimes it may seem like everything is against us. The circumstances of life, the God of heaven, he doesn't even seem to see what's taking place, because surely if he did, he'd come down and do something about it. You see, you and I have our estimation of how God should operate. And here's how I think God should operate. As soon as one of his children have a need and a problem, that God immediately ought to appear and take care of that. That's what I think he should do. But you and I know from our experience that doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes we go through the difficulties of life and again, we have some things that are contrary, the things that are against us, and we're tired of the struggles that we're going through. Do you ever just get tired of life? Just tired of life. Nothing in particular, maybe, but just life in general. And I think all of us face that sometimes. But again, I want you to notice verse 48. It says, and he saw them. Jesus Christ, he saw them, and he sees our toiling and our trouble and our difficulties and our trials of life. He sees ours too. In Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. That means that there's not one little bird that can fall to the ground. In fact, I told the Lord this morning, thinking about that verse, I said, Lord, I think I just hit one of your little birds. It flew up too late, and I think I got him. I don't know, Lord, you know. But you know, God saw all that. God sees all that. God sees everything. God knows about that. And based upon that statement, Jesus makes this application. He says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now think about that for a moment. God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. God knows every hair that's on your head, even numbers 36 and 39 that are still in the sink after you combed your hair this morning. God knows every single hair on our head. That means God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And based upon that, he said, now, God even knows the hairs of your head. He said, fear ye not therefore. Ye are more value than many sparrows. And so sometimes when we're going through the struggles of life and the difficulties and the tribulations, the trials, we wonder if God even sees. Not only does he see, but he cares about us. He cares about us. And so the first thing is, he saw them. He saw them. My wife and I, we got this app on our phone, and it's called Life 360. And what Life 360 is it is a location device. In fact, what we tell each other is, my phone just told me a few minutes ago, Kelly left home. And right there she is. She is at Massillon Baptist Temple. She's been there since 9:40 a.m. Now, sometimes if I see that, it'll come up on my phone. I'll tell her, I'm stalking you. I went to Brazil in the spring of this year, and she watched me. She could see my little head popping around all over the country, wherever I went, and on the Amazon River, and wherever I was. It was kind of neat. But you know what I can do? I can turn off a little. I can go to my settings and turn something off, the location device, and it won't be able to find me anymore. And she would look on her phone and not be able to find me. Now listen, sometimes we think that God has turned off the location device and he doesn't see where we are. But God sees us everywhere. There's no place we can go that God can't see us. And there's no situation that we can find ourselves in that God doesn't know about it. And so the first thing I want us to see this morning, and if we don't get anything else, we need to remember that. He saw them. However, I want you to notice quickly, this also is very significant that we find in verse 49. They saw him. Notice they saw him walking on the sea. Now, initially, they didn't recognize who he was. They didn't notice that it was Jesus, and so that's why they were afraid. I wonder sometimes during life, in life, why is it that we don't see Jesus in our problems? When we're going through the difficulties, why is it that we don't see Christ? Why is it that I might say, I don't even know if God's in all of this. How can God be involved in all of this? This cancer treatments that we're going through, or this death in the family, and where is God in all of this? Well, sometimes we can't see God because maybe we're like Mary. Mary had come to the tomb and found it empty. She was weeping. Tears had filled her eyes. And she turned herself and she saw the gardener standing there, or at least the person she thought was the gardener that was the caretaker of the garden. And she said, sir, if you have taken away my Lord, our Lord, tell me where you've laid him and I'll take care of him. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And then she turned and she said, Rabboni, which is to say master. But she was looking right at him and she didn't recognize him. She thought that he was the caretaker of the garden. She was looking right at him. Why didn't she recognize him? Well, I think it was because of all the tears that were in her eyes. You know, when you have tears in your eyes, it's hard to see very far. It's hard to see very far in front of us. It's sometimes the grief that we go through because of these trials and tribulations and the toiling and the rowing and the contrary winds, sometimes it causes some heartache. And tears fill our eyes, and it's hard for us to see the Savior in all of that. Sometimes it's not only the tears, but it is the toil itself. It's the toil itself. We're working so hard, and we're just wondering, where is God in all of this? I'm laboring. And for example, I'm trying to bring somebody to Sunday school, and nobody will come with me. I'm trying to serve God and my family. They won't listen. They won't come. I'm trying to do this. And we just wonder, where is God in all of that? Because of our toiling sometimes, we fail to see Him. We're working so hard that we're even failing to see Him in all of that. But they did see Him. They did see Him. I want you to notice something very significant, however, in verse 48. And He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them. Now that's good news, isn't it? Here He comes. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. He's coming to them in their hour of need. But I want you to notice something now, the end of the verse. He come to them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. Wait a minute. Jesus saw their toiling. He saw their need. He came to them. He's walking on the sea. He's about to get in the ship and meet their needs and take care of all of that. But the Bible says that He would have passed by them. What does that mean? Well, what's that all about, Lord? You mean you're coming to the rescue, but you're going to walk right on by and not get in the ship, not do anything about all this? What does all that mean? I think that Jesus was coming to the rescue, and Jesus was so close to them, but He would have passed by had they not acknowledged Him. Had they not invited Him into the boat, into their situation. You say, well, why in the world wouldn't they invite Him in? Well, you know, sometimes people, when we get in trials and tribulations in life, we get a little, we can be tempted to become a little bitter toward God. Let me explain it this way. When things don't happen the way we think they should, if we're not careful, we're tempted to think, God, You don't care. And when really, really bad things happen, I've known people that have turned their back on the God that they've served for 30 years. How is that possible? They begin to blame God. Say, God, if You had been here, it wouldn't have happened. Kind of like Martha and Mary. Lord, if You had been here, our brother had not died. Where were You when we needed You? You're late. We don't need You now. Now, we would never say that. We wouldn't say it. But we might think it. And we might harbor something in our heart. You know, sometimes bitterness causes us not even to see the Lord and not even to care because we get so bitter about something. You know what? Jesus is just going to walk right on by unless He's given an invitation to come in and help in that situation. And I would hope that we would wake up and see that He has been there all the time. He's been so close. He's been watching out after us. And yes, we're in the midst of a storm perhaps, but He wants to come in and He wants to help us. We may still have to go through some difficult things, but we can sure get better, or we can surely get through them better if we have Him on board than without Him in the situation. And so I think that Jesus would have passed by if they had not invited Him in. You know, sometimes we are so self-sufficient and we can say something like this, I got this, and we want to take care of it ourselves. And so Jesus was going to pass by, but someone saw it. Someone said, there He is. The Lord's there. That's Him. That's Him. That's the Lord. We don't have to be afraid. That's Him. And they invited Him in, and we see the rest of the story is that Jesus went up into the ship the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed. And I don't know what troubles of life you may be facing now, but we all face them. We need to remember that He saw them. That means He sees everything going on in your life. But here's our response to that. We need to see Him. That is, we need to let Him in and say, "Lord, I don't understand it, but I accept it, and I need your help to get through it." Now, I don't know, again, what you're going through, but God does. And it might be this morning that you just need to see Him. Join me in prayer, please. Father, thank you for the time we've had in Sunday school to look at this instance in Scripture where the disciples needed help. And you saw them and you brought that help. And Lord, I pray that you would be with each person here in this class. There may be something that is very distressing in their lives right now, and they're having trouble seeing you. I pray that you might help them to see you. And Lord, should there be a dear friend that's never trusted Christ, that they would realize that you love them and Christ died for them, and they would come to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.